जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे, जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे, प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद, जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद, जय जय गुरुदेव प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, ताई को प्रेमानंदे। हरे कृष्णा। थैंक यू डियर डिवोटीज फॉर काइंडली असेंबलिंग हियर दिस मॉर्निंग। वी डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकंड कैंटो 9th chapter, verse number 30. Thank you to Mother Mukhya for kindly introducing me. And thank you all, to all of you wonderful devotees, for kindly being present here today. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, chapter 9, verse number 40. Yeah. This is not 40. So 40 has a purport which we have not covered yesterday. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prajapatir Dharmapate Ekada Niyamanyaman Bhadram Prajanam Anvichan Atishthat Swartha Kamyaya. Synonyms. Prajapatihi, the forefather of all living entities. Dharmapatihi, the father of religious life. Ekada, once upon a time. Niyaman, rules and regulations. Yaman, principles of control. Bhadram, welfare. Prajana, of the living beings. Anvichan, desiring. Atishtha, situated. Swartha, own interest. Kamyaya, so desiring. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Thus, once upon a time, the forefather of all living entities and the father of religiousness, Lord Brahma, situated himself in acts of regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of all living entities. Purport. One cannot be situated in an exalted position without having undertaken a regulative life of rules and regulations. An unrestricted life of sense gratification is animal life. And Lord Brahma, in order to teach all concerned within the jurisdiction of his generations, taught the same principles of sense control for executing higher duties. He desired the welfare of all as servants of God. And anyone desiring the welfare of the members of his family and generations must conduct a moral religious life. The highest life of moral principles is to become a devotee of the Lord, because a pure devotee of the Lord has all the good qualities of the Lord. On the other hand, one who is not a devotee of the Lord, however qualified he may be in the mundane sense of the term, cannot be qualified with any good quality worthy of the name. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Brahma and persons in the chain of disciplic succession, do not do anything to instruct their subordinates without acting accordingly themselves. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripam Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, dear devotees, for kindly assembling here today. So, we'll go back to the verse, original verse. The verse says, Prajapatir Dharmapatir Ekada Niyaman Yaman Bhadram Prajana Manvichan Atishthat Swartha Kamyaya. So Prajapati is name of Shri Brahma, And he is also Dharmapati. Dharmapati means he is the topmost amongst those who lead a life of dharma. Ekada, at one point of time he decided, Niyaman Yaman. So he decided at one point of time about Niyaman and Yaman. He decided that he will situate himself in Yama and Niyama, in rules and regulations. Why? Bhadram Prajanam Anvichan. He wanted to ensure Bhadram or Kalyanam or auspiciousness for all the Praja, all the living entities that he had manifested in this world. Atishthat Swartha Kamyaya. And this he is doing as if it is his own benefit. So he is trying to benefit others as if Swartha Kamyaya. It is his own benefit, dear devotees. So, amongst the traditional commentators on Srimad Bhagavatam, the Sanskrit commentators on Srimad Bhagavatam, the original commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam is Srila Sridhar Swami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Sridhar Swami Guru Karimani, Sridhar Anugata Karo Bhagavat Vyakhyan. So he says, I accept Sridhar Swami to be the spiritual master of the entire world. And if somebody wants to understand Srimad Bhagavatam completely as it is, then the original Sanskrit commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam is by Srila Sridhar Swami. So I am also reading from Srila Sridhar Swami's commentary here. Srila Sridhar Swami says, Tadanantaram Purvakto Brahma Narada Samvadaha Pravritta Ityaha. So, thereafter, the discussion between Brahma and Sri Narad is about to begin now. So, he says, Prajapatiriti Panchabhi, 5 verses, beginning with the current verse. They will describe the beginning of a new discussion between Brahma and Narad. And then he says, Prajanam Bhadram Anvichan Vimrishan. So, he was desiring the well-being of all the created living entities. Saiva Swarthe Kamya Swaprayojan Ichchaya Tatha Yama Niyaman Anvatishthat. So it was his own self-benefit that all the living entities should be benefited. So that is what Srila Sridhar Swami says in his commentary. Dear devotees, it is a very important thing that in Vedic culture people benefit others besides benefiting themselves. That is the main message that Bhagavan Brahma is giving through his activities. Because today we all are living in an age of individualism where the individual's happiness is given priority over benefit of the society. So today's age is an age of individualism, and in this age people do not consider themselves to be indebted to anybody. Because once they are grown up, 20 or 25 years of age, then they think, I am free and I am not indebted to anybody unless I have taken a loan from a bank. Then I am indebted to the bank. That is what they will think. Otherwise, they do not think themselves to be indebted to anyone. So this sort of understanding will not be able to sustain the world or sustain the universe. Therefore, Brahmaji, he first and foremost wanted to benefit the entire universe, and for that he is situating himself in Yama and Niyama, rules and regulations of spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the purport that any head of the family should situate themselves in proper regulative principles in order to set a good example for others. Dear devotees, according to Vedic culture, all of us are born with heavy debts on our head. No human being is born free. Although modern individualists might like to tell us that you are a free bird, you can do whatever you want. But according to traditional Shastra, none of us is born free. We are all born under heavy debt. And this debt we have to clear before we leave this human body. So what are the debts which are there on each and every human being who takes birth? I will specify these debts These are known as pancharina or five compulsory debts which are there on each and every human being. So I will specify their names, dear devotees, kindly repeat after me. First is Pitri Rina. So debt towards our immediate parents and debt towards forefathers. Because our immediate parents gave us birth and sustained us for the first 20 or 25 years in our lives. Alright? So I'd like to ask a question. Meet Prabhu, you are situated closest. So I'll ask a question. So parents gave birth and they sustained us for 20-25 years. Did parents charge any money from us?
No.
No. Was it for free?
Yeah.
Right. Meet Prabhu says it is for free. See Prabhu, tomorrow you may enter Grihastha Ashram, you may have a child. Now, if for some reason you have to go out for a few hours and you want to hire somebody to take care of your child, they will charge you by the hour, isn't it so? Yeah? Every hour you will be charged certain number of dollars. Let's say $20 per hour. Multiply by 24 hours. And multiply by 365 days and multiply by 20 years. So simply from a financial point of view, this is not even the emotional support, the love, all of this is not included. Simply from the financial point of view, we are heavily indebted. So this is called Pitri Rina. Somebody did a free service for us for the first 20 or 25 years of our life and we did not give them anything, thinking that it was for free. But it is not for free. So this is Pitri Rina. The forefathers, ancestors also, if they wanted, they could have decided we don't want to have any children. Why to take the headache? It's such a pain raising children. And then they don't listen to you. So, if forefathers would have thought like this, today we would not be here. But today we are here because forefathers decided, no, it is good to continue the family tradition. Therefore, let us have children. So, today we are here. So, we are all indebted to these entities, forefathers or parents. Is it possible, Prabhu, to pull out a verse from the Bhagavatam on the screen?
Yes.
Yes. So I would like to pull out 10.45.5, 10th canto, 45th chapter, verse number 5, in front of the screen. If it is possible to pull out a verse on the screen. So, this is a verse in which Krishna is saying something to his parents Devaki and Vasudev. So, he rescued Devaki and Vasudev from the prison house of Kamsa. And then Shri Krishna was lamenting that I could not serve both of you. So this is 10th canto, 45th chapter, verse number 5. Those of you who have it on your phone, you can pull it out on the phone. And the rest of you, if you want to see it on the TV, you can also see it on the TV, which might be happening just right now. I will recite the verse meanwhile. Please hear me and repeat after me. Sarvartha sambhavo deho janitah poshito yatah natayor yati nirvesham pitror martyah shatayusha. So we'll see the translation of this verse and Meet Prabhu, you can read the translation of this particular verse. Please read, Prabhuji. You can read loudly using your voice, no problem.
With one's body, one can acquire all goals of life, and it is one's parents who give the body birth and sustenance. Therefore, no mortal man can repay his debt to his parents, even if he serves.
Okay, this is not the only verse, Prabhu. This is what one should do. If one does not do, then the result is mentioned in the next verse. Let's see the translation for the next verse. We'll directly see the translation. So,
a son who though able to do so, fails to provide for his parents with his physical resources and wealth, is forced after his death to eat his own flesh.
Oh my goodness. So this is Pitri Rina, the first indebtedness that we have on all of us. So this all devotees must take seriously that we are indebted, and all humans in general should also take seriously. This is first rin. Second type of debt, I will speak the name, please repeat after me. Devatarina. So we are indebted to the various devatas or gods who are in charge of the various functions of nature and who are also in charge of the various functions of the body. So we are having good season right now in Alachua. Sometimes it starts raining. But in general we have good pleasant weather, no extreme weather in most part of the year. And seasons usually change nicely. Environment is good, fresh air, clean water. Is all of this for free, Mit Prabhu?
No.
Now he's intelligent. Our body has many functions. I am thinking, if I desire, I will raise my hand. If I desire, I will blink my eyes. But if tomorrow due to some misfortune, I get a paralysis attack, then I may desire to lift my hand. But even though the desire is there, will I be able to lift my hand? No. So, somebody is helping me even lift my hand. Somebody is helping me blink my eyes. There are some individuals who get a paralysis. It is called Bell's palsy. It occurs on the face. So those who get Bell's palsy, they are not even able to blink their eye. So, all these functions are being managed by entities whom we may not be able to see with our physical eyes, but who nonetheless are managing the functions of our body. Modern science doesn't agree that there is fire in the body, but Ayurveda says there is Jathar Agni, fire of digestion within the body. And because of fire of digestion, we are able to digest our food. So all these devatas, Agni, Varuna, water, the deity of water, Vayu, the deity of air, they are managing functions in our body. Question is, are they doing for free, Mit Prabhu?
No.
No, obviously. So we are indebted to them and we have to do something in order to repay the debt. Third debt, dear devotees, please repeat after me. Rishi Rina.
Rishi Rina.
So Rishi Rina means indebtedness towards the sages, great sages who started our family lineages. Each and every one of us is coming from a family lineage that was given good instructions by certain sage. That sage may have been born in different parts of the world. But certain sage has started and given good instructions to the family lineage. In Sanskrit, it is called Gotra. So many of us, we know our Gotra. Some of us may not know our Gotra, but it is certain that some Rishi has started, some saintly person has started our family lineage. How do we know this? Because we were taught good values. For example, Mit Prabhu, parents taught us, you should not lie. Didn't parents teach us? Yes. Parents taught us, take a bath regularly and remain clean. Yes or no, Mit Prabhu?
Yes.
Question is, who taught the parents? And who taught their parents? And you trace back, eventually you will come to somebody who has taught the good values, inculcated the good values. Now this original saintly person is the one who was trusted with the responsibility of starting the family lineages. So that is Rishi. And because of them, today we received good qualities from the family lineage. They could have taught, you should lie, you should steal, you should remain unclean. They could have taught in their family lineage. But they did not teach this. They taught us good values. Was it for free?
No.
Rishi Rina. Fourth is, please repeat after me. Atithi Rina. Indebtedness towards those who come to our home as guests. Now somebody may ask, why are we indebted towards guests? The guests should be indebted to us because the guest takes our resources. So why should we be indebted to the guests? The answer is because as soon as we leave our home, we become dependent on somebody else. So, for example, right now, all of us are not at our home, we are at the temple. After this program, there will be prasadam. Now, is it for free?
No.
Oh, wait, I was never charged anything for prasadam. So, as soon as we are leaving our homes, we are becoming atithis, dependents for somebody else. So the moment an atithi comes to our home, a guest comes to our home, immediately the debt, there's an opportunity to pay back the debt. This is atithi rina. And fifth and final rina, fifth and final debt, please repeat after me. Bhutarina. So bhutarina means indebtedness towards all living entities in general. We are indebted to all the living entities around us. Now somebody may ask, why am I indebted to the bird who is chirping on the tree? I have no relation to that bird. So we have a deep relation because we are part of the entire ecological system. Let's say, Mit Prabhu, if any one type of species of life ceases to exist, if today all the birds cease to exist, will human life continue?
No.
It will have a chain reaction and human life will no longer be able to sustain itself. Therefore, they may not be directly giving anything, but indirectly they are giving us a lot of benefit. The birds are eating the worms, because of which the crops are saved, because of which we have good, you know, produce of crops, because of which we are able to eat. So it's all part of the ecological system. Therefore, we are indebted to bhutas, all living entities in general. These are the rinas or debts that we carry in our lives. Now, dear devotees, if somebody doesn't pay their debt towards the bank, you know, what does the bank do, Prabhu?
Confiscate.
Or they'll file a case against you and you will be in trouble. And what happens to a person who does not fulfill his debt towards these entities? There is a verse for such a person in the Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, third chapter, verse number 12. Tair datva apradayibhyav yo bhunkte stena eva saha. Yo bhunkte stena eva saha. Tair dattan apradayibhyav yo bhunkte stena eva saha. A person who does not provide satisfaction or offerings to all these living entities. Prabhupada says, translation, but he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. This is very clearly spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, verse number 12. Now question is, should we try to fulfill all these debts? No? We should not try to pay back? Obviously, we should try. Next life, do you want to carry forward? Okay, I wish to ask a question and please answer in yes or no. A person who did not treat his parents nicely, his or her parents nicely, do they deserve to have good parents in their next life? A person who did not treat their guru nicely, do they deserve to have a good guru in their next life? So therefore it is important that we should do something to pay back our debts to these particular living entities. Therefore Sri Brahma also, see, Sri Brahma is thinking about the welfare of all living entities. This is Vedic culture, that all living entities think about the welfare of all the living entities. That is Vedic culture. So, therefore, we should do something to pay back these debts. What should we do? We should sacrifice. And what is the technical term for sacrifice, Meet Prabhu, in Sanskrit?
Yajna.
Yajna. So, we have to perform 5 yajnas. What are the yajnas? First and foremost, to satisfy the forefathers, Pitri Rana, we should perform Pitri Yajna. Pitri Yajna means sacrifice for the forefathers. Now, what sacrifice for the forefathers? There are 2 main sacrifices that one can perform for the forefathers. First is for the immediate parents. As Bhagavan Shri Krishna said, one should take care of the immediate parents, especially when the parents need us the most. Secondly, the previous ancestors, one can pay back their debts in 2 ways. First is, one who enters household life, they can produce a child and they should render the same service for the child for 20 or 25 years. So they do the same service for somebody else, some other living entity, for 20 or 25 years and further the family lineage. So this is one way. Another way is to offer regular oblations to the forefathers on specific days within the year. There is a time period known as Pitri Paksha. Pitri Paksha is when you can offer oblations to the forefathers. The Satkriya Sardipika of Gopal Bhatta Goswami says that one should offer bhoga to the Lord, and whatever prasad we get, that prasadam should specifically be offered to the forefathers for their satisfaction. 6 months of our earthly duration is 12 hours of the heavenly planets. And another 6 months are 12 hours of the night. So if once a year we are offering to the forefathers, it means from our family, once a day in their heavenly planets, they are receiving that particular satisfaction. So in that way, they are still connected to us. So this is how you pay back Pitri Rina. Second is Devata Rina, how to pay back the debt towards the various gods. That can be paid back. Traditionally, they used to perform Bali Vaishvadeva, which is offering of sacrifices, offering of various foodstuffs to various gods. And nowadays, it is very easy for Vaishnavas. You just satisfy Krishna, tasmin stushte jagat tushtam. By satisfying Bhagavan Shri Krishna, all the devatas are satisfied. Yatha taror moola nishechanena tripyanti tan moola bhujopashakha. Just as you water the root, all the branches are watered. You don't separately water the leaves and branches. So you satisfy Shri Krishna and all the devatas are satisfied. In this way we pay back Devata Rina. Third is Rishi Rina, how to pay back indebtedness towards the great sages. So whatever good qualities were taught to us in our family lineage, if we are householders, we should propagate those good values to the next generation. It is the responsibility of every generation to propagate the good values learned from the family in the next generation. And another way to fulfill this debt is to teach Shastra, good qualities, to society in general. So that is one way. Teach Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam to others. Fourth is Atithi Rina. So Atithi Yajna. As soon as a guest comes to our home, we should welcome them. Unfortunately, sometimes the culture in some parts of the world is that when a guest comes, they are looked upon with suspicion. Sometimes a person knocks on the door and the owner of the home comes with a gun in his hand. So, and sometimes we don't even welcome a person inside. So if there is no life threat from the person who has arrived at our home, then we should do 3 things to welcome a guest. Minimum 3 things should be offered to a guest. What are the 3 things that should be offered to a guest? Yes.
One should offer a garden, proper seat and some water.
Okay. The 3 things mentioned in the Smritis are, 2 of them you mentioned correctly. First, one should offer a seat. Second, one should offer water. Third, one should offer sweet words. And if nothing else, at least one should offer sweet words to the guest. There is a special hell mentioned in 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam for those living entities who look upon with cruel eyes on the towards their guests. Sometimes, you know, we open the door, yeah, what is it? Whom do you want? Yeah, he is not there at home. Come back later. And we slam the door on their face. So this type of behavior is condemned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is specified, 5th canto, 26th chapter, verse 35. A householder who receives guests or visitors with cruel glances, as if to burn them to ashes, is put into the hell named Paryavartan, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures, herons, crows and similar birds, which suddenly swoop down and pluck out his eyes with great force. So there is a special hell mentioned in the 5th canto simply for those who do not treat their guests properly. This is 5.26.35. So, dear devotees, whenever a guest atithi comes to our home, we should make sure that the atithi does not feel unwelcome, especially if they have come for a short duration. And what if they start taking advantage of our hospitality? So Srila Prabhupada used to say always, whether it is an unwanted guest or unwanted disease, if you don't feed them, they will go away. So if you don't nourish, if you give them lesser nourishment, then they will go away somewhere else. So this is what it is. And fifth is Bhutarena. So, fifth is Bhutarin. So, Bhutarin is indebtedness towards all the living entities. How do we satisfy all the living entities? The householder is supposed to give charity compulsorily to all the living entities. Amongst 84 lakh species of life, only human species of life speaks the language of US dollars. Remaining do not speak. The birds do not want our dollars. The birds want a little food. The animals want a little food. A little water in the summer season. So the householder should satisfy all the living entities by feeding them Shri Krishna Prasad. Fry a little seeds, roasted seeds. Offer them to Bhagwan Shri Krishna. Put them in a bird feeder at a slight distance from your home. Because you may not want the squirrel to enter into your home. So put the bird feeder at a slight distance from your home and observe the birds eating nicely. You are fulfilling your indebtedness towards all the living entities. See a homeless man on the street, give him prasadam. So all this is very important. So this is how we pay back. Now there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Devarshi bhuta tanrinam pitrinam Nakinkaro nayam rini charajan sarvatmanayah sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritya kartan. That a person is not indebted to any of these entities, to the pitris, devatas, bhutas, rishis, atithis, he is not indebted to anybody, but provided he fulfills one condition. What is the condition he or she should fulfill? Sarvatmanayah sharanam sharanyam. With his life and soul, he or she should have surrendered to Bhagavan. Which means they should have become a pure devotee of Bhagavan. At that point of time, a pure devotee is not indebted to any living entity. But as long as we have not attained that stage of sampurna sharanagati, complete surrender to Bhagavan, the verse does not apply to us, dear devotees. Because sometimes devotees are thinking, I have just joined, I am a new devotee, now I am no longer indebted to the forefathers. The verse has specified that there is a condition in it. Sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam. With their life and soul they should have surrendered. Then they will not be indebted. I will conclude with a story, with a pastime from the Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata there is a very wonderful episode of a sage named Jaratkaru. We say Jaratkaru, he is a descendant of the sages named Yayavar. So Yayavaras are sages and their descendant is Jaratkaru. And only one last descendant remains. Jaratkaru is the only one who is the final link of the family. So Jaratkaru decides that he will take to the life of a Vanaprastha directly. Without marriage, he takes to the life of a Vanaprastha. He starts roaming around in the forest and good austerities he is executing. He has a lot of knowledge, Jaratkaru. And every evening, wherever you know he finds himself walking, he takes rest in that place. Every evening, he will take rest wherever he is. He will not try to find a shelter. And every morning he will beg only so much that he can eat for the morning and the afternoon. He will not preserve anything for the evening. That is Jaratkaru's life. He is dedicated to the Supreme Lord. One day, Jaratkaru, while walking, he sees a mystic vision. He sees there is a person hanging upside down from mid-air. And that person is about to fall into a deep pit. But he is not falling because his legs are tied by ropes. And there is a small mouse biting on the rope. Jaratkaru says, "My dear sir, what is wrong with you? Who are you?" So that person, he says, "Alas, I am the ancestor of that fool Jaratkaru." Jaratkaru says, "Are, I am Jaratkaru." So he says, "My dear son Jaratkaru, I am one of the Yayavars, your ancestors." So Jaratkaru says, "So why are you like hanging upside down?" So he said, "Jaratkaru, try to understand that I am about to fall down into this pit. This pit is taking birth again on planet Earth. Right now I am just about to fall down from the heavenly planets into this pit. And you can see this rope tied around me, the mouse is biting on the rope. This mouse is Kala, time. And only one strand of rope is remaining. If the mouse manages to bite this one also, then I will definitely fall down. And you know, Jaratkaru, who is this one strand of rope? It is you, Jaratkaru. It is you. As long as you are alive, there is still hope that I will not fall. Jaratkaru, please get married, because you are the only descendant remaining. If we would have had 3 or 4 more, we would have asked some of them. But you are the only one remaining. Please get married. And offer oblations to us so that we will be able to stay peacefully here. We will not have to fall down on earth." So Jaratkaru is also determined. He says, "Well, all right. But I have taken to the life of renunciation for long. And you know, although officially I am not Vanaprastha, I am not wearing saffron, but still I am living like a Vanaprastha." So Yayavar said to him, "But please, I request you take to married life." Jaratkaru said, "Only on 2 conditions." So what are the 2 conditions? He said, "The wife should have the same name as me, Jaratkaru." What an impossible condition. "Secondly, I will not find a girl. Somebody should come and voluntarily say, 'Please accept this girl in marriage.'" Oh, second big condition. Poor Yayavar is thinking, "Oh my goodness." Still Yayavar said, "Okay, please try if you can find such a girl." Jaratkaru roams through many places but is unable to find a girl of his name. So Jaratkaru says, "Better to give up. Let them fall because of their karma. Let them fall." But then Jaratkaru says, "But I should try little bit. I should try calling out loudly to see if there is any such girl." That too, Jaratkaru doesn't select a city. He goes to a forest to call out. So Jaratkaru goes to a forest And in the forest, very slowly he is there anyone who has a daughter named Jaratkaru and who wish to give it to her, to me in marriage? Who will reply in the forest? Nobody replies. Again he says, is there anybody with a daughter named Jaratkaru who wish to give it to her, to me in marriage? Nobody replies. The third time he says, suddenly Vasuki appears, the head of all the snakes, nagas. Vasuki says, dear Jaratkaru, I have good news. I have a sister who has the same name as you, Jaratkaru. And I will give her to you in marriage. So now Jaratkaru is left with no option. So he gets married to the girl whose name is Jaratkaru. And he produces a son. His name is Astik Muni. So Astik becomes the son of Jaratkaru. Jaratkaru and his wife later take to the Vanaprastha ashram and attain liberation. So he attains the same destination that he would have attained if he would have remained single. But he manages to do all the yajnas. And he teaches his son all the yajnas. And the forefathers are fully satisfied. And the son Astik later becomes a big instrument in the fire sacrifice of Janamejai. Because when Maharaj Parikshit was killed by Takshak, his son Janamejai decided that I will kill all the serpents. And his son Janamejai organizes a fire sacrifice in which all the serpents are to be burnt. Astik protects the serpents from burning. Because Astik is his mother's side is Nagas. So Astik is the one who protects all the snakes from getting burnt in the fire sacrifice. So this is the story of Jaratkaru as mentioned in the Mahabharatam. So I'd like to thank all of you very much. Thank you for kindly assembling here. Yadatra skalitam kinchit vidvamsah pura yantu tat. Yadatra saushtavam kinchit tad gurorevam enehi. Yadatra skalitam kinchit. If I made any mistake in speaking anything, Vidvam Saha, you are learned devotees, Pura Yantu Tat. Please correct any mistakes. And Yadatra Saushtavam Kinchit. If there is anything nice in the presentation, please know that Tat Guru Reva. It belongs to my Gurujanas, may nahi. It doesn't belong to me. Thank you very much, dear devotees. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. So, many of us joined Hare Krishnas with understanding we are fully surrendering and take care of our parents. We thought they are Maya, most of us, except for myself. But after being 40, 45 years, I don't think I have fully surrendered yet. So, as for the sloka, Devarshi Bhutatma, fully surrendering,
yes.
But and we haven't taken care of our parents.
Yes.
So what's going to happen?
Right. So, full surrender is not, if anybody has fully surrendered even once, that person's indebtedness will be taken care of. So devotees who gave up everything in order to surrender to Guru, in order to surrender to Krishna. Even in the past, there are many individuals who have done that. There is a verse spoken by Sri Narad Muni in the first canto. Kovartha apto abhajatam swadharmata tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajan napakvayotha pate tato yadi. So tyaktva swadharmam, there was swadharma, some prescribed duty, giving up that duty. Charanam bhujam harer, bhajan. Still a devotee started worshipping the lotus feet of Hari. Bhajan apakvo. Somebody may be fully surrendered and pure devotee. And somebody may not be fully pure. Apakva, Narad Muni says. Patetato yadi yatrakva vabhadram. There will be no loss or diminution because they took to the path of devotional service. Now they might not have fulfilled some of their debts, but that will be you know, depending upon the attitude with which they have quit. See, some people, different people quit in different modes. Some people are tired of their family, and so they become devotees. Some people want to run away from their families, so they become devotees. Some people want to escape from their responsibilities, and so they become devotees. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that tyaga, or renunciation in the mode of passion, is when one wants to escape their responsibility in order to, they want to escape their responsibility, and they use renunciation as an excuse to escape their responsibility. That is renunciation in the mode of passion. So somebody may have done that, we can't make a general statement. But they have a lot of time now, let's say 40 years, 45 years, 50 years, devotees live. In those years, they should ensure that they end up fulfilling that condition. Sarvatmana yaha sharanam sharanyam. Full surrender is attained, and the higher stages of bhakti are attained. That they should make sure. Otherwise, what will happen? Devotees will think, well, in long back, we surrendered. So that was the surrender. That's it. But surrender is sharanam sharanyam. Sharanyam, surrender, full surrender unto Shri Krishna by following all six limbs of surrender. There are six limbs of surrender. Dainya, Atma Nivedan, Goptritve Varan, Avashya Rakshibe Krishna, Vishwasa Palan, Bhakti Anukula Matra Karya Svikar, Bhakti Pratikula Bhava Varjanangikar, Shadanga Sharanagati. So there are six limbs of Sharanagati. And the devotee should become fully surrendered. Short and sweet, they should achieve the higher stages of bhakti, namely bhava bhakti or prema bhakti. And if they have not attained that, then they should continue to at least have indebtedness in their heart towards all these living entities. Even pure devotees, such as Srila Prabhupada, when he used to remember his father, he used to say with great fondness, "My father, he did so much for me. My father, very great person. My father, he was..." Like, he used to speak with that feeling of I and mine for his father. So he used to say, "My father." Prabhupada never... There is not a single statement wherein he said, "My father is Maya. My mother is Maya." You will not find a single statement of Srila Prabhupada like that. Very fondly he used to speak of his father and his mother. "My mother, she took a vow of eating with left hand until I will ask her why you are eating with left hand." So, this is the indebtedness that he himself displayed towards his parents. So we should also have, at least mentally we should have that indebtedness towards our parents. Yeah.
One more question. Brahma is the forefather, he is the religious.
Yeah.
And at the same time, in the Brahma Vimohan Lila is taking place.
Yeah.
So, is that understood as a part of Brahma's desire to do? Because on the other side, is it Krishna's desire to put Brahma in that situation?
Mm.
What is it? Is Krishna's desire to perform the pastimes, to have Brahma put in that situation? To see that this boy is, how can this boy hold the... in the left hand, and walk around like that, eat jutha khana. So how is that?
Yes. So Brahma, Sri Brahmaji will never desire for himself to fall into illusion. One of the prayers that Sri Brahma spoke to Bhagwan Sri Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that during creation I am often affected by the mode of passion. Please let me never be affected. In reply to this, Sri Krishna himself had promised, Bhavan Kalpa Vikalpeshu, that in any future Kalpa, I promise you, you will never fall into permanent illusion. This Brahma, our Brahmaji was promised, that you will never fall into permanent illusion. So Brahmaji never desired, and Krishna also has given him a benediction, I will not let you fall into permanent illusion. But some temporary pastime occurs, and that is so that it occurs due to Bhagavan's desire, and there is no Brahma's desire involved. Brahma will never desire such a... No devotee will desire. Any devotee here who thinks, after attaining Krishna, let me fall again into illusion. See, nobody raised their hand. So why will Sri Brahma desire that he fall into lila? So Bhagavan sometimes arranges some lila, but the devotee never falls down. Even though, you know, in that lila, they may act sometimes contrary to Bhagavan. That is the answer. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you for your wonderful class. So we've been here 40, 50 years within ISKCON, and never really we've actually heard a class like this. You know, I mean, never really. I mean, but I've always been pondering about these points along the way because I think it's important, but then at the same time, we're always being taught, once you surrender to Krishna, everything is all right. Mm-hmm. You know, you water the root of the tree, everything is taken care of. Really. But today you've specifically stressed these points, and I think they're fundamental, and we should contemplate on them and work on them, you know, like you've said, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, because what has happened is, sometimes the pendulum swings too much in this direction. And what happens is, many times, I would not like to name any institution in general, many times people become devotees, and on the pretext of becoming devotees, they stop performing charitable activities. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, there are three things which purify even the pure ones. What are the three things? Tapa, austerity, yajna, sacrifice, and dan, charity. We should continue to give charity even to all living entities, even though we may be the purest. For example, there are some individuals who, after becoming devotees, they stop giving support to the homeless people, to the beggars. Srila Jiva Goswami, in a commentary to the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tasya Bhinna Drisho Mrityur Vidadhe Bayam Ulbanam, in that verse commentary, Srila Jiva Goswami says, one who is, after becoming a devotee, only thinks of filling his own belly and does not care about filling the belly of others. So such a person, Bhagavan will give great fear of death, because they are not seeing the presence of Bhagavan in everybody's hearts. So it is important that the devotee should realize that just as I am suffering, the other living entity is also suffering. Therefore give. Give as long as it is possible to give. And there is a nice Subhashit verse, Sanskrit verse, which gives a sarcastic comment upon the miser. It says, Kripanena samodata na bhuto na bhavishyati, asprishan api vittani yah parebhya prayachyati. Dear devotees, do you know who is the most charitable person in the universe? Meet Prabhu. No? The miserly person is the most charitable. Are why? Because he gives away all his wealth, even without touching it with his own hands. Do you understand? After he will die, anyway his wealth will be taken away. If he would have touched it with his hands and given, he would have at least gotten the piety. But he is so charitable that he did not even want that piety. He's the most charitable. He gave away his wealth, and he also gave away the piety that could have come to him. So this is, I'll come to you in a minute or two. This is the understanding. A devotee is supposed to satisfy all living entities. Srila Prabhupada, when he saw in Mayapur, two boys are fighting with a dog over a piece of chapati. At that point of time, Srila Prabhupada could have said, oh, this is Maya. You know, they are fighting with the dogs. But there is an element of, you know, compassion in the heart of a Vaishnava. So Prabhupada said, within 10 miles nobody should go hungry. So we organized Big Food for Life program to satisfy all the living entities. And that is the spirit of a Vaishnava. All right? Prabhuji will go to you, then we'll come to you, meet Prabhu, and then we'll conclude for today. Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, you gave example of Srila Prabhupada and his father. His father, Srila Prabhupada, said that he was a pure devotee.
Right.
So he's not going to say he's in Maya, but we have the example of Prahlad Maharaj. He addressed his father as Surya Bharja. So he's calling him the best of the demons. So.
Right. Obviously. But at any point of time, Maharaj Prahlad never rejected his father. You will never see any point of time Maharaj Prahlad saying that my father is the lowest of them all. Praying for his liberation.
Yes.
Always desiring the benefit of his father. And Prahlad Maharaj never said, I disown you. Hiranyakashipu, today I disown you. I'll no longer use your surname. I take a new surname from now on. This is not the attitude of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is still belonging to demon family. Because he's born in that family. So whichever family we are born in, we have to own that name. So Prahlad Maharaj owns that name. Today Prahlad Maharaj is Asurvarya. He is the leader amongst all the Asuras. But not in quality, he is not an Asura. In quality, he is a great Sura. He is a great devotee. But family-wise, he is Asurvarya. He is the leader of... Bali Maharaj is also Asurvarya. He is the leader of all the demons. They never disown their family. Yes. Okay, meet Prabhu. Then, yes.
Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. So, now after your class, I'm understanding why in the beginning of Bhagavatam, sages are asking, we want to do good for the humanity. So I think that's the reason why sages are...
Yeah. There is a general feeling of benefiting. Sarve bhavantu sukhina. Prabhupada used to say, general, under Vedic culture is, swastastu vishvasya khalah prasidatam. Even let the demons become peaceful. Let everyone... even those who are not following Vedic culture, let them also become peaceful.
Yeah.
Right.
So, my question was, Devata Rena, you specified in one of them. So, when I joined ISKCON, my family has been worshipping different demigoddesses in Gujarat, in India.
Right.
So, when I joined ISKCON, I completely stopped that. Because it was supposed to be continued because my grandfather and his father and everyone was worshipping the same demigoddesses.
Right.
And as soon as something is stopped, for an example, if the worship has been stopped, I have always seen in my family there is a havoc in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So how to deal with that? Because now Devataran is there.
Right.
And now after joining ISKCON, we are stopping that.
Okay. So, it seems like your family has some Ugra Devtas in their worship, Bhairav or something, or maybe.
Devis.
Okay. So, one thing is to stop the worship because we are worshipping Krishna. And another thing is to start disrespecting them. So, somebody may have stopped their worship, but maybe maintaining complete respect for them in their minds. So that is a different person. And there are some individuals who not only stop the worship but also start disrespecting that demigod like this. I hope you are able to understand. Demigod. In their mind they are thinking like this. Amongst the 64 limbs of bhakti, there is one limb of bhakti Rupa Goswami specifies, limb number 17. Anya devata anavagya cha. Not disrespecting other gods is one of the 64 limbs of bhakti. So by not disrespecting them, we are automatically executing bhakti. So one thing we should do, even if we may have paused or stopped their worship, we should never for a moment in our minds disrespect any devata. Because this tendency is found sometimes amongst some devotees that they call them demigod. And the demigod will look at us and say, "Are a human, we are still higher than you. What are you saying, demigod? You are human."
So, stopping the Naivedya and all the worship, is that's okay?
The thing is, if there has been a family tradition, then what one should do, it is specified in the Satkriya Sardipika. We should refer to that, those Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures. So Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures say, there are other devatas on one side and Bhagwan Shiva is on one side. So Bhagwan Shiva is the worshipable deity, then the Hari Bhakti Vilas is specifying a section on Shivratri. So you should refer to the section on Shivratri in Hari Bhakti Vilas. He says, although it is not compulsory for Vaishnavas, but those who have a family tradition related to Bhagavan Shiva, they may optionally do it with the permission of their guru.
So if it's not Shiva, if it's a demigod,
other Devi Devatas,
then it's fine.
Yeah, then what one should do is, once a year there are special days for those Devatas.
Yeah.
On those days, one should offer bhoga to Bhagavan Shri Krishna. And the prasad that one gets, one should offer to the Devatas to say that you all of you are, you know, deities of my family. I give some offering to you so that, you know, you can be satisfied. And one should ask from them only one thing. Please give me what?
Krishna Bhakti.
Krishna Bhakti.
Okay.
So this is, there is one special day in the year.
Yeah.
That's the only
day my family is hoping for.
That is the only day when the entire issue arises. I know. That is the only day when the issue arises. On that day, one should offer them what has been offered to Shri Krishna as bhoga.
Okay.
So that way family is satisfied. That way the devatas are satisfied. That way everyone is happy. And we don't become a separatist in the society in general.
Okay.
That way everybody is peaceful. Right? Thank you. Yeah. And then we'll also go to Pranagoda. We have time, na Prabhu. I don't know how to. It's okay.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada states, on the other hand, one who is not a devotee of the Lord, however qualified he may be in the mundane sense of the term, cannot be qualified with any good quality worthy of the name. What about these people who imbibe the values that they've learned from their ancestors? They are manifesting, you know, righteous qualities. But Prabhupada says, no good quality worthy of the name of...
So let me specify this. Let's say that there are many people here in the Western world also, if we see outside the society of devotees, there are many people who have many good qualities. Worthy of emulating. Sometimes you may not see such good qualities even amongst devotees. Many good qualities worthy of emulating. For example, in the Western world in general, people are taught to be kind to their neighbors. Be very kind. Be very kind to other people. Question arises, from where have such qualities entered into the Western society? If we think deeply about it, the answer is that these qualities came to the Western society from religions such as Christianity. Now, religions such as Christianity have a lot of element of bhakti present within them. Because there is so much emphasis on devotion, surrender to God in religions, traditional religions. These values boil down into the family lineages. And as long as the family lineages are preserving these values, they boil down to the next generation. So the effect of bhakti that is there in a particular sampradaya, like Christianity, is boiling down into family traditions. Now, as soon as the family tradition detaches itself from these traditional religions, in one or two generations, you will see loss of qualities. In a generation or two, you will see loss of qualities. So you may see that the next generation, they may not exhibit this if the family has been cut off from the original tree. So this is the reason why you see good qualities in the people outside in the world, because somewhere or the other the family lineage was connected to a sage, and the sage has bhakti within their hearts, and that has permeated down the various generations of the family. I hope that satisfies your
question. Yes, thank you. Can I ask a question related to yesterday's class?
Sure.
You cited 13 or 14 qualifications for one to be able to see the Lord in the heart.
Okay.
And about number 10 or so was taste.
Yes.
And I question why shouldn't one need taste in the earlier ones to even get to the higher ones?
Right. So, The technical term is ruchi. Ruchi was I translated as taste. The initial taste is taste for Shastra and taste for following the rules and regulations. That is the initial taste. And the later stage, ruchi, is taste directly in absorption of Sri Krishna's pastimes. So that is the difference. So both are tastes, but initial taste is for following the process. Later taste is for getting absorbed in the Leela. That taste is there. Right. Thank you, thank you.
Yes. This is exactly what I also thought. Because even in Shraddha stage, Shraddha, there is a taste.
Yeah.
Otherwise they would not even start. Thank you for that's a very nice explanation.
What is Shraddha? Let's you know, Shraddha is often translated as faith. Question is, faith in what?
Towards some Krishna bhakti, some form of Krishna bhakti.
Okay, we might say, but that person is new. He has no conception of who Krishna is, you know, and does not understand Krishna tattva in detail, just know, is there a deity and, you know. We come and pay obeisances. So Sri Jiva Goswami specifies in his commentary to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Shastrartha Vishwasa Eva Shraddha. Shraddha is that the innate faith that whatever is mentioned in the scriptures, devotional scriptures, is correct and beneficial for me. Now based on that, all other faiths are established. Faith in Guru, faith in Krishna, faith in Vaishnavas, all other faiths are established on the basis of faith in Shastra. So therefore the first faith that comes is Shastrartha Vishwas. Faith that the innate message, the book that was given to me, was carrying the correct message. So
that then is, according to Mahaprabhu, even preliminary to that Shraddha, he quoted this, Bhaktistu Bhagavad Bhakta Sangyana Parijayate.
Oh, wonderful.
Satsanga Prapate Kumbir Sukriti Purva Sanchit.
Purva Sanchit.
He has to have some connection with Bhakta, in Bhakti related, in order to have Shraddha even.
Wonderful. But that previous Bhakti Sukriti also,
yes.
It happened because he had Shastriya Shraddha.
Yes.
So if you trace back, there is some Shastriya Shraddha which occurred causelessly by the association of a Mahatma.
Yes.
And that first association was causeless. So that is where we can find a common ground. Right?
Yes, Mahaprabhu said in Chaitanya Chaitanya that there is a famous verse, Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula, the root.
Root is?
Hai Sadhu Sangha.
Sadhu Sangha.
Krishna Prema Janmete Ho Puna Mukhanga. This goes on forever.
Wonderful. Thank you, Prabhuji.
I was going to ask, but it's kind of late, but it's okay. We'll discuss later.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm very happy. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.